Welcome to the Not Old Better Show. I'm your host, Paul Vogelsang. It was in 1983 that Howard Jones released his first single, New Song, in the UK. The expectation then was that it might sell a few thousand copies and introduce Howard Jones's fresh new music to an unsuspecting world. The reality was quite different. That single steadily climbed up the UK charts to peak at number 3. Then came the second single, What Is Love, which reached number 2. Then, Things Can Only Get Better, followed up with the classic No One Is to Blame, which reached number 1 in the US singles chart. Howard Jones, of course, is well known for these and a series of colossal hit albums and 15 top 40 hit singles throughout the 80s and the 90s. The British musician's work also played a pioneering role in the introduction and acceptance of synthesizers and sequencers in pop and rock recordings and performances, and still has enormous influence even to this day. It would have been easy for Jones to rest on his laurels and rely solely on performing his hits. However, that's simply not an option for him. He's still active. He's still engaged. He's very creative. Howard Jones is currently touring, and he'll be in Leesburg, Virginia, November 28th at the Tally Ho Theater. Howard Jones is our guest today on the Not Old Better Show. Welcome, Howard Jones. Well, Howard Jones, welcome to the show. I just have to start with the technology that is just, I think, very much on my mind. I think it's very much on a lot of my audience's mind. I looked at a picture recently of you performing in studio, and I see Rode mics, I see Focusrite brand audio interfaces, plugins, soft synths, lots of tech gear, and you're here on my podcast. You really are a technology maven, and so when it comes to your music, you're as much a programmer as musician, singer, songwriter.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've always wanted to use the technology of the time, if you know what I mean, you know, the time we live in. I think that to be relevant, you should be using what is available to you. So obviously, I was brought up as a piano player and played since the age of 7. And, you know, and the piano is a piece of technology, but it's been going a long time. And so it it's really exciting and fun to use the tech of the age that we live in. I think it's part of my philosophy has always been that. I mean, there's loads of, you know, I mean, obviously there's the whiz kids that are around now way overtaken me, I'm sure, with their use of technology and their skills with it. I do my best to keep up.
Well, you're definitely doing more than that. And I want to touch on that in just a second, but we are with Howard Jones, whose amazing hits like New Song from Humans Live, No One Is to Blame, What Is Love, Things Can Only Get Better, and much more will be in Northern Virginia at the Tally Ho Theater, November 26th at 8:30 p.m. You can check out the tallyholeesburg.com website for more ticket information. Howard, thanks for joining us. I think you and I are kind of roughly the same age. I'm 59, and so I remember well hearing some of those great keyboard sounds, so those power notes from the synthesizer when pushed of Emerson, Lake and Palmer, and kind of that progressive rock period, and that whole Emerson, Lake and Palmer, Keith Emerson's flamboyant, exciting plating style. The Isle of Wight, that really influenced you.
Yeah, anything with anything to do with keyboards really excited me. And when I was 14, I went to see the first major performance of ELP. And Emerson, you know, had the big modular Moog on stage and the ribbon controller. And it was just the most incredible sound and so exciting. And you know, for me, seeing a keyboard player who was really the front man, really, in a way, and the showman in the band, you know, I knew from after seeing that, that actually, you know, that was for me, you know, that's where I wanted to end up. And so, I mean, it was many years later that I was able to afford a synthesizer. But, you know, I've been aiming for that, you know, from that moment.
Even the Fanfare for the Common Man by Aaron Copland, yeah. You know, just amazing yeah. when ELP does that.
Yeah, I love that, you know, I always remember seeing a video of them playing that at the, I think it was a huge stadium in Montreal, and Emerson was playing the big Yamaha CX-1, I think it was, you know, it's really amazing sound. You know, he's always been a big inspiration because Emerson was classically trained as well, and you know, a lot of his work was adaptations of great classical works, and in fact, it was, you know, it was a bit of an education to me because he was very influenced by people like Villa-Lobos, you know, South American composers, and you know, I'd never heard of before. So, you know, it was great, you know, Mussorgsky and all that. And so, you know, there's the two strands really with Emerson, his classical connection, and also, you know, first rock guy to use synthesizers in a really amazing, cool way.
And then you took it to a very, very driven by the technology, very influenced by some of the time that you really are talking about. Do you ever fear that as you're traveling and on tour, that the gear isn't going to travel well, that the live performance, you know, things always, you know, it's live performance.
Yeah, no, it's been a constant feature of my live life, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Gear going wrong, because we've always pushed it to the limits, you know, and really taken things on stage that really don't belong there. You know, they're not roadworthy, and you know, using Bluetooth on stage. You know, we've been through all those crazy things. At the moment, the gear's pretty stable. I mean, I use software now. I don't bring out any of the old synths because they can't survive the trip. You know. So I use my software emulations, but still, you know, when you push it hard, you know, there's always something that's on the point of breaking. But I think that's part of being if you talk to any electronic musician, they all say the same. You know, there's always going to be the days when things go wrong, and you've got to be able to get around it. And expect it, and you know, so it's just part of what we do.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the safety net is really, you can always play acoustic.
Yeah, that's right, and I can always just sing, you know. Mm-hmm. So which I've done, whilst people have been frantically trying to reboot things in the background.
I've seen some of the DVDs that you've released, and in particular, I'm talking about the 20th anniversary concert, where you really are showing us kind of how it's done with all the gear. You can see you're very much wrestling with this equipment. You know, you're driving this. Mm. Are you going to kind of share some of that, almost that teaching with us at the Tally Ho?
You're talking about that show where I recreated my original setup, I think, wasn't it? Yeah, with the 808 drum machine and, you know, being triggered, and there's no computer. It was all, mm-hmm. You know, that's where I just wanted to do it, like, once again to show people where I came from. I mean, now I don't really want the tech to be the focus. You know, as much as I love using all those great instruments, the modern instruments, it's not the reason why I do it. That's the orchestration, you know. It's the songs and the effect that the music and the way it's orchestrated and the lyrics, you know, have an impact on people. That's what I've always been interested in. I mean, and that's, I suppose, you know, the difference. When people ask me to give lists of gear and things like that, I'm just not interested. Mm-hmm. And I turn that sort of thing down. And when people say, oh, do you want to come and talk about the DX7 or something. I said, that's not my work. My work is the songs, and the effect I want to have is the emotional impact on people. That's always been the reason for doing it. Yeah, I think sometimes people are quite surprised at that, but not to me.
Your music is very positive, and it really does bring about this really nice recollection, certainly for all of my audience. It's also, there's also a great degree of beauty and elegance in your lyrics, and I New Song is really one of my favorites, and I love the lines, "Don't be fooled by what you see. See both sides. Throw off the mental chains." And I just think those are great sentiments, especially for today.
I'm glad that I say this on stage, actually, that I'm so pleased that I can still sing the lyrics with conviction and not with any kind of regret about them. Even though they're written so long ago, I still feel completely committed to those ideas. So it could have been that you looked back in your early work and you said, I just can't sing that because I just don't believe in it anymore, because all my lyrics were really based, they're philosophy, really. They're not like pop lyrics at all. They don't come from there. So for me, it's all about the meaning. So if I didn't believe in it, I just wouldn't be able to sing that song. So fortunately, I do. And I even though they were written, 35 years ago.
Yeah, they're important pieces of music. Your work with Live Aid was important, and that came from a place of wanting to give and something, doing something meaningful.
Yeah, I mean, Live Aid was the most important a global event, of that time. And it was the first global event. And to be part of it, I knew that I absolutely had to be part of it, whatever it took, I was on tour in America at the time, and I cancelled some shows and flew back to London so I could do it. And, it was very, very significant moment, especially because I played piano on it, and it wasn't me with my synthesizers that everyone thought that's what I did. I was, One Finger Joe or something, And so it was a big surprise to a lot of people. So it was the most amazing feeling to be playing. There's 100,000 people in Wembley, and they all joined in on the chorus. When you watch back the video, it's amazing to hear that sort of lift that it gave to the whole song. Really clear memories of that.
Mm-hmm. Also, I'm a fairly spiritual person, just personally. I know you are, and your music, your lyrics are all very positive. And you famously appeared on at least famous in my kind of community. I went to BYU, and you were on BYU TV's program and series, "The Song That Changed My Life." And
oh yes, yeah,
yeah. How did that come about? And tell us a little bit about, kind of the song that you selected and why that song mattered so much.
Well, the reason I did it was my friend Duncan Sheik had done it, and he said to me, you really should do this, and he said I'll put you in contact with these guys. Mm-hmm. And so it, you know, it came from Duncan's recommendation. And when I did meet them, I realized, you know, that they were very sincere about their work, and they would do a kind of a really sort of true representation of me, you know, because I've never done any kind of documentary thing before. The reason I chose, you know, the Elton John song was because I took a big influence from Elton, and that song, you know, I used to sing when I was like in my 20s, and I used to sing it to people. I sang it to my wife, it's such a beautiful song. And also the way that Elton plays, you know, I feel a great connection with that style, and it comes easily to me, you know, to sort of play in that style, and the song suits my range and everything like that. And so all that combination seemed like a great reason to choose it.
Mm-hmm. Perfect choice. Well, tell us a little bit about the current tour. Are you you coming with a band? How much gear is going to be on stage? You know, will we see some of the great fashion that's reminiscent of the 80s? What's
no, there's no sort of you know, looking back. I mean, I play stuff from my whole career, really, and some brand new things. You know, I think that's really important to give the whole picture. There's three of us on stage at the moment. The band's going to get bigger next year, but at the moment, with three of us, you know, electronic drums, and then my keyboard rig, and then Robbie, who runs Ableton software and manipulates my voice and everything, and he also plays keyboards as well. So, you know, it's very electronic setup at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's going to be great. Again, Howard Jones is with us. Yeah. He's going to be at the Tally Ho Theater in Leesburg, Virginia, November 26th at 8:30. And we'll put links up to Howard's site as well as where to get tickets. Howard, thank you so much for joining us today. It's just been a pleasure. I love your music. I'm a huge fan, and I'll see you there at the Tally Ho.
Oh, great. Well, thank you very much, Paul. It's been a great pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you. Have a great one. Have a safe trip here to the States.
Thank you. Cheers. Thank you.
Bye.
Right. Bye now. Bye.